Blog Talk Radio.
Baltimore to another episode of the Knowledge Show Live. Today is Wild Wednesday, and we're going to be talking with you in the hot seat with one of our great authors. One of our great authors, Miss Amanda Reed. She has two books that she wrote. One is Genesis, one is Exodus. Not that she wrote the Bible, but he has a nice illustrated cartoon, like the Lion King type of drawings on the book covers, which you could see on the slideshow, about her fantastic books. Great for children, great for families, and great for the love of the Black community. Three blocks away from my home today, there was a shooting at a convenience. It's only been open maybe 5 or 6 months, hasn't been open a whole year, in which the carry out, the convenience store cashiers were both shot, as well as a customer that was in the store. No one gave me any details, but back in the day, we used to go in there with the press pass and just like, you know, what's up? What's going on? What's happening? What did you see? What did you hear? And have it all recorded and play it live for the episode of that night. You know, when you were doing those 3-hour shows, things were popping. We just don't do that anymore. People just don't have that itch to get involved. It's all about what can you do for me, and that's just a sign of the times. So condolences to the family of those that were lost and that command didn't get any names. But I do know that the homicide detectives were out there blocking the street, trying to pretend to look like Jesse Jackson up in the sky, as if lightning did it. A lot of you have got reminders about the karaoke tonight at the Maryland Live Casino with Secret Society. And we will post on Thursday. But if you're going tonight, sing a song for me. There is no guest for tomorrow that was lying. She had put in a cancellation for Friday. And Friday, I guess I'll be here by my lonesome. So feel free to hit me up and ring those calls. What else on my list? Oh, yes. What we were talking about before, about the NFL and uniform, you get on me, I guess people must have heard. The show is broadcast, because someone asked the question, where can you hear the show? The show is broadcast not only on TuneIn, it's also on BTR Network. You can also hear it on Twitter when you log in through something called Periscope. Don't ask me, because I don't know how it works. All I know is when the show is on the air, Periscope is broadcasting the show, but it's audio only. But if I go into the controls and log into Periscope, it will turn on the camera. But all you're going to see is probably me in drawers and undershirt, you know. So I don't want to put that out there. But technology has changed. Now you can do those types of things. The golden dream, since you were asking me the question yesterday, the golden dream is to get a van with the cast and co-host of the show at the photo shoot at the Eastern Avenue, East Point Plaza, whatever it's called, and have the van wrapped with that photograph. And I said, I didn't want no van, I wanted a bus. So the dream has changed from a van to a 29-passenger bus that does have air conditioning, heat, maybe a bathroom. I don't know if a 29-passenger has a bathroom or not. But if it doesn't, I know how to pull over and pee. And that would be great because it will have Wi-Fi so we can broadcast while on the road. And it's by Crystal Coach, which is one of my favorite coach builders. I don't know anybody else. I know Boston makes them. I know Tiffany makes them. But Crystal Coach is one of the best coach builders, as well as American Bus, of course, located here in Maryland off Defense Highway. So that's the goal and the dream. Against better judgment, well, we'll talk about that tomorrow because I don't want to jump to that. But against better judgment, I've been asked to finish out the year. So the last episode will be in New York, the dropping of the ball New Year's Eve. I really don't like New York like that. So that pays, since everybody's worried about money. every time that there is a show event, it pays $850. Well, I got that wrong. It pays $85 an hour, and that's a 10-hour event. So that's how you get the $850. Everybody said, oh, let's do an event every day. No, it doesn't pay like that. The $850 gets divided up by the show co-host and host. So it's always 20% on the, I forget, the host gets 20 and the show gets 40. I don't know. Whatever the show gets, I get 10% less. So if the show gets 50, I get 40. That's not adding up right, because I know the co-host is 20 for sure. So I think it's 20, 40, 40, or 20, 40, 39, or something like that. But it's good. Last year, or year before last, we had the cookout and the health fair at Patapsco Valley State Park. Thank you all for coming out and checked for your blood pressure, STDs, and things like that. And it's always a pleasure when we do things in the community. And it has gotten bad because all of the leaders are getting old, they're drying up, they're dying. Nick Cannon sent a video on Messenger for everybody to send it and go viral about staying for what. I understand the frustration, I understand the message, but it's too many people putting their own spin on what's going on. Now let's get basics. Oh, first, Brother EJ is in the house. Let's welcome Brother EJ, co-host for the day.
Go.
Yeah, you got that scratchy going on. That was you, yeah.
What was that? You said I sound scratchy?
Yeah, I said that was you yesterday because it was like a roll and everything.
Oh, it was? I didn't hear the broadcast. Gotcha, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I guess it was my phone.
Yeah, now, the protest, because I don't do too much protesting. The protest, to my knowledge, is about the police brutality with the cops killing black people. That's what I thought it was. Am I correct in saying that? It has something to do with the Star Spangled Banner, which is something stupid.
That's definitely the when Kaepernick said, when they asked Kaepernick why did you sit down or why did you take a knee, he said the injustices in America towards African Americans, such as police brutality and the injustices against, you know what I'm saying, against unarmed black men. So that was one of the examples that he put, and that became the forefront of the movement. But at least when he took a knee, he said it's just against injustice that America stands for, and he named police brutality as an example. But that definitely is the general consensus that people ran with.
Okay, that's what I thought it was about. But today I'm hearing a whole lot of crap about the Star Spangled Banner, Francis Scott Key. Look, if you change the school song, if you just change the school song. I prefer the Battle Hymn of the Republic, but that's just me. I don't think people want to go around singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. But that's just me. I think that's a song. If you can say God Bless America, you can say Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. And that's a song more about God and his wisdom and strength, more so than any country or any type of mankind. You know, that's what I think the American song should be, rather than My Country Tis of Thee. But you also have to understand that these are songs that were written long before you were born, long before the police were the big topic, or any Freddie Gray was ever conceived in their mother's womb. And you went to school 40, 50 years before I knew your name. Why don't you make a suggestion to change it? And then I keep hearing about Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Trump is one man, and nothing he says or does will affect change in meaning of the song. That's something that Congress does, not the president. You got to get your power straight. Don't think the president's power is absolute, because it was not. Never was. And the only time it was close to that was about unlimited terms. But there'll be no more Clevelands for president during 12 and 16 year terms. So, however, senators can do it, because I think McCarthy did 6 terms. He was in office 36 years or something like that. So, just change the song. But I don't want to hear no rap. I don't hear no blackness. It's gotta be a song that fits everybody. Don't you agree?
I do agree. Personally, I think "God Bless America" would be the best national anthem. Personally, but yeah, I do agree that especially like a lot of people don't know after the Kaepernick situation, it got very clear and became in the news that there is a second and third verse to the Star Spangled Banner, and it does mention slavery and catching them and killing them. So, you know, there is a definitely a racial undertone to that song that's not in the version that we sing. But I personally do think that it would be good for America to change the national anthem. I don't think it's going to happen, especially not under Trump. But I think it would be prudent.
Well, I think it's like education, because a lot of people don't know much about what they speak, especially the state of Maryland shouldn't be complaining at all. Because Francis Scott Key was incarcerated at Fort McHenry when he wrote it. So Maryland shouldn't even complain, because Maryland did not fight for the revolution and it did not fight against the revolution. It chose to stay neutral. So in this debate, I think they should repeat history and stay neutral. Keep your mouth shut. With the verses from my study of the song, it was not the white soldiers that captured him. It was the black soldiers that captured him. So he had all kinds of hatred towards the slaves. During this time, I believe it was 1812, the black soldiers were told this was the third go-round they had been in wars since Lincoln. This was the third go-round when they said, if you fight for the Union, you're guaranteed. So a lot of them, this was after Buffalo Soldiers, a lot of them said, okay, we're going to fight. And they captured any white man, black man, Chinese man, slave owner, sharecropper, anything that anybody on that list of warrants, they went and got them. It was for their freedom. And they felt good about it, too, because they wasn't taking them kindly and nicely. They was beating and bashing them upside the head. So, you know, right as long as they say, oh, the dirty bastards going to die and come down into the fire. Yeah, because you couldn't run. The blacks outran you. See, when white people run, they run like they jogging in slow motion for some reason. And when the black people run, it's like, poof! The only way black slaves got caught as runaways was because the dogs would suck on them. They said, get them! But the white people, the horses couldn't keep up with. So you got to be running your ass off if you're outrunning a horse, which they always told me in school, a horse outruns man and dog. And then the next fastest thing is automobile. Then the next fastest thing is a train and an airplane and jet and rocket. And, you know, it's a book that I had long ago in elementary school where it showed you the different speeds, maximum speeds of certain animals. And a roadrunner, although they say he's very fast, the ostrich, which always got his head around for whatever reason, can outrun the roadrunner. So I always thought the ostrich was a roadrunner, but it's not, apparently. I've never seen the proverbial roadrunner.
They're pretty small.
Yeah, it doesn't eat me either.
It looks nothing like the cartoon. Like a coyote looks more like the Wile E. the Coyote looks more like a real coyote. Eons more than the Roadrunner looks like an actual Roadrunner. They're about the size of a crow and they're really skinny.
Yeah, and it doesn't say meet me.
No, it might. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard the sound it makes. I've just seen them run by when I lived in Texas. They're like, that's a Roadrunner. I was like, that little thing's a Roadrunner? But yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. I was in Texas training, and every time you turn around, it was dusty. You dust the furniture on Monday. It's two times dusty on Tuesday night, as if you didn't do nothing on Monday. You can't sleep with the windows shut, so you got to open the windows to let the air come through. Air came through. It was dust everywhere. It was like, my goodness, it's amazing that you don't have allergies and congestion, just like Arizona. But they don't have flus, they don't have colds, they don't, because I guess the body is used to that congestion, the flus all the time. So if you come to Baltimore, you probably get sick because you don't have no dust to get in your nose, just got smog and pollution. But that's something else. So I'm glad I'm on the right page. Then the song, the protest about police brutality. And not about the Star Spangled Banner. People are just making it what they want it to be about. I guess because they're doing it during the Star Spangled Banner, I guess that's what people assume about the Star Spangled Banner. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they say like it's disrespectful to the flag and the anthem. To take a knee during the anthem, you know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous, but you're absolutely right.
Well, when they say disrespectful, what I get from that is disrespectful as far as not, how can I put it? Because the game is a national football league, national means American, just like National Baseball Association, whatever. National deals with the nation, so it's representing America, and when you represent America, you have to do everything just like the USO. It's not a military organization, but it's a United Services organization, and when they go out and tell jokes, they tell jokes to the service members to make them feel better and let them know they're being thought of and taken care of. And if they play the national anthem, it's supposed to be with pride and dignity and reverence to your country. The country as a whole did not kill anybody. It's the people in this country that have a problem. I think you need to take it to the lowest common denominator. For example, people got shot up in that church in South Carolina, which is where most of my family is from. They say they had something to do with the flag. Oh, they took that flag. People still getting killed, aren't they? So it has nothing to do with some cloth and some linen that you wave. I saw video footage on the NFL where they was holding the American flag across the whole field. And then part of me feels like, is this part of the so-called quote-unquote Al-Qaeda agenda? So, you know, that's the mid-pretend terrorist organization we will be afraid of. What better way to support the terrorists than dividing the country by saying we have no patriotism, we have no support? If there's a right now, while the football game is going on, with another plane hitting the Trade Center towers, or maybe just dropping bombs on Washington, D.C., like people say, I'm going to bomb the White House. If something happens right now, if people bomb the White House, I dare these people to jump up and down and wave the American flag. If it's such a problem to you now, it has been such a problem to you then. Everybody near mama was waving American flags after 9/11. And I can't stand a hypocrite. I can't stand phony people. I can't stand hypocrisy. I can't stand wishy-washiness. If you're going to be left, if you're going to be right, stay left. stay right. Don't keep going left, right, zigzag. That's get people confused. Shut up, Andre. Get people confused with what's going on. And that's foolishness. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I got to admit, you know, I do gotta say that, you know, people earn the right to grow and to change. You know what I'm saying? And when I was young, my dad was a conservative, a hardcore conservative, and he's been married twice, both to black women. You know what I'm saying? And he coached black kids. You know what I'm saying? In the hood of East Montgomery County. You know what I'm saying? But he was a conservative. You know. And I didn't understand the hypocrisy until I grew up. And as I grew up, his views changed. You know what I'm saying? And he just started to and he blames it on God. He said, "Our God just took away my passion for politics." And he was a passionate conservative, had us little black kids campaigning. You know what I'm saying? And I tell him how I feel now. He's like, "Ah, you sound like a liberal." And I'm like, "I don't have affiliation, but I change and I grow." You know what I'm saying? But I remember when I was in school, I was arguing and had no real idea of what I was saying. I just wanted to defend my dad's beliefs, you know. But people definitely deserve the right to grow. But hypocrisy is something to look out for, especially from leaders.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to answer. But I always was curious in households like O.J. Simpson and households like yours. Mm-hmm. And encounter racism, do you know what it is when it happens to you, or do you have to be told what it is? Like the first time it happened, did you know it was racism, or did you just think somebody was having a bad day?
My dad, I'll try to answer the first that last question second, but my dad was very open with me growing up about racism in America and about especially police. He had a gripe with police because he worked in downtown. He worked in the inner city of D.C., of northeast, southwest, like literally all over D.C. And he would get stopped all the time, being this short Jewish guy dropping off packages at different houses, but he's installing water filters, you know. And they'd see him, he's got a pocket full of cash, and they think he's dealing drugs. So he would always get stopped, and he had a real animosity for them. And he would, even this, you know, short Jewish guy, he instilled that within me. And when I would see somebody pulled over on the side of the curb, you know, I would be like, "What's wrong, Dad?" Like, "What did he do?" Because I would know the guy. I'd be like, "What did he do?" And my dad would say, "Probably didn't do anything. Probably just pulled him over because he's young and black," you know. And then, you know, and this is my, at the time, 40-year-old Jewish dad telling me these things because it's ingrained. And my mother used to say, "I wanted a cap gun." She said, "You can't have a cap gun. You can't have any sort of gun, not around here." They're like, "Why not? My son Jonathan has a cap gun. Jonathan lives in West Laurel. You know what I'm saying? Where they fly Confederate flags proudly. You know what I'm saying? He has a BB gun. He can shoot it in his backyard, and I don't know why I can't." In retrospect, I see it, but growing up, you don't really notice it. Certain times you notice it, like when somebody doesn't. If somebody asks like, asks my mom or my dad, "Oh, are you babysitting? Or are you watching a friend's kid or something like that?" And I'd be like, "Why would you think that's not my dad?" You know, because everybody who knows me would say, "Oh my God, you look just like your father," when I was growing up. So when I meet somebody who says, "Oh, are you babysitting this kid?" You know, I'm like, "What do you mean? I look just like him, don't I?" You know, so yeah, I definitely noticed that as a young age, but most of this stuff went unnoticed until I grew up.
Well, I coming from a dinosaur, I noticed the change in the tide based on the culture on television, movies. It has nothing to do with politics. The children are raising the children are being raised by television because you took the father out of the home. You took the discipline from the mother by saying you can't beat your kids or we're going to call the police. So all they're learning as far as how to do television. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was coming up, we had television shows such as Different Strokes, which talked about a white man who adopted these two black kids. And the lesson behind that was a white man taking charity on poor black children. And that's the only way to get out of the ghetto was through the compassion and generosity of Mr. Drummond. That's a male side story. That a female side story was the facts of life, when Mrs. Garrett took charity on a bunch of girls that had hard knocks, and they were all of different cultures. A Jewish girl, a black girl, a Tom girl, boy. But these were not, and Mrs. Garrett also played on different strokes while as the Mrs. Garrett. But now today's shows, you got shows like Blackish and a lot of shows that's not showing people in a positive way. It's showing more about negative influence and violence. Last Friday. And what's the other one? The Barbershop, where the girl puts up a fit because somebody drank her orange juice or apple juice or something. That's the typical black one. Loud, violent, rude. So what I got from that, it was entertaining for those that saw comedy in it, but it was disrespectful to those that saw the stereotypes in it. So everything is not for everybody. And more movies that come out, and more television shows that come out, shut us down, make us look inferior, make us look stupid. There's a new show on FX or whatever, FX, about a young boy drug dealer. And there's another one about a rapper who became mayor because of the talk. And another show about Niecy Nash, supposed to be this ghetto fabulous hair salon stylist that's selling drugs on the side. Why do we always subject ourselves to gutter trash to make a living? I'm still stuck on Halle Berry and Monsters Ball, that she got to straddle some right to get an award. You got to play the whore. It was bad enough that her first role was a crack whore. And now she got to come back to being a slut whore just to get an Academy Award or a Grammy Award or whatever it was. They all had to say, oh, motherfucker, just so he can get some type of award. And why does America look at us that way? When we play polite roles like the Cosby, you don't get too many applauses. We play poor people like Sanford and Son, you don't get any applauses. We play struggling and surviving like Good Times, you don't get too many applauses. But as soon as we play Minister Society, oh, that was good. Girls Trip, oh, I got to see that again. South Central, that's my joint. Shoot 'em up, kill 'em up, beat 'em up. We all for it. Somebody look at the pictures. I'm quite sure they raped when they made the film. They was trying to show you a lesson. But instead of getting a lesson, we see that we glorify negative and shun away from the positive. Is that God's sense of humor when they say that God has placed the enmity, E-N-M-I-T-Y, somebody can look that up, placed the enmity within mankind, purposely caused friction between the genders? I got a letter this morning. I was reading of the guy was talking about homosexuality being okay as long as you're not hurting anybody. if that's what you believe, that's what you believe. And then he had a nerve to put in there, what do I think? You don't want to know what I think. That's one of my principles of doing this show has always been never ask a question, even in relationships, never ask a question that you don't want the answer to. Do I look fat? Do you think I'm stupid? You must think I'm dumb, don't you? Don't ask no question you don't want all the answers to. Me personally, I think, and somebody might say ill, yuck, or whatever, I think homosexuality is something that people do out of and convenience just to get a nut. I don't think that there is seriously no one who can say, oh, I'm in love, or let's go get married, because there is no attraction. It's like a magnet. Two positive magnets connect, and two negative magnets won't connect. They'll repel each other because they're designed for plus to meet negative and negative positive. Just like electricity. Electrons and neutrons, they ain't going to, but when you get them protons, man, it'll shock the daylights out of you. So, and these are the laws of nature. Nobody can change them. Even if a man changes his gender and say, I'm a man, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, and I got a sex change, you're still a natural man by nature. You're going to think like a man. Your cleanliness habits is like a man. Look at Kate Jenner or whatever his name is. Just a man in a dress to me.
You ain't never lied.
There's a certain thing how women are extra clean and very meticulous about everything. Just because you put on titties and a wig, it's just a man in a dress. A woman ain't going to sit around with no hair on her arms like that. She's going to wax. She's going to be bare-chested. She's not going to be out there talking in her house is not swept and well-kept. Dishes still in the sink while you talk. There ain't no woman like me. In fact, it's so apparent that you can go into an empty house and look around and see if a woman lives there or if a man lives there just by the curtains or the grocery list in the refrigerator. You see a bunch of beer, no food, no vegetables, no color. You know if a man lives there. Or a drunk woman who can't afford to buy no groceries. But most of the time, if a woman lives there, you'll see some orange juice, milk, cereal, eggs. Gotta have eggs. Gotta have butter. You don't believe me? Go to my cousin's house and see what he got in there. Don't eat no bread. How you gonna put the peanut butter with no bread? Got some bread? No, just put it on some crackers. Nah. Got tuna fish, got to eat with some crackers because you ain't got no bread. I don't that's just my take on it, folks. I got a couple of phone calls. I'll take a few in a few seconds. I know I didn't get around to the birthday shout-outs. I think I want one and ask to Miss Dorothy Hutton. Happy birthday to Miss Dorothy Hutton. H-T-T-O-N, Hutton, like button. I know that name sounds familiar. I don't know who that is. I just don't know who that is off the top of my head. There was another Dorothy who was a gospel singer. I can't remember her last name. She, Norwood, that's her name. Dorothy Norwood, I got it. The same name as Brandy and them.
Y'all like that?
She used to always be singing that song. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air with Malik Shakur and Brother. Okay. I've been in a state. For first time callers, when you call in to listen to the show, you don't have to push if you're pushing the button, I guess the prompt is telling you to press the one, it flashes you as a question. But if you're just listening, it'll just put you in so you can listen. So if you have a question, press the one on your keypad. And if you don't have a question, but you press one by mistake, press it again to, there, thank you, there you go. Press it again to clear it. Reeves, I guess we have to contact her or pick up her telephone because she's probably not in the right time zone.
What time did you say?
We sent her an email a few minutes ago and got no response. For people that don't know, it's a live band. I used to manage a popular artist. One was named Linus. So if you go to the page Artist Management or Artist Seeking, I think it was called, there's a couple of videos of Linus singing some cover songs. He stopped showing up. He stopped returning phone calls. He missed the performance. And I had to pay out some money, so I have to drop him. So artist management in Baltimore is rough because you can only rise as high as the talent is trying to go. That's not just with, that's with ministry, that's with artistry, that's with registry, that's with military, that's with education, that's with skill set, that's with operation, that's with promotion. You can only go as high and as far as you are able to achieve. If you drag your feet and move too slow, that's what's happening. If you motivate yourself and say, okay, I'm going to do it, you'll get there. But you can't get there and stagnant. I look in the city of Baltimore, I see all these boarded up houses, people living next door to boarded up houses, rats running back and forth in the yard, they sit on the front stoop eating chicken bones, chicken boxes, they finish eating, they throw the shit on the ground. What's just wrong with you? You have no pride in where you live. So when you start acting like a pig, that's how people treat you, like a pigsty. There's no reason why my taxes had to pay for a street sweeper to sweep up a street that I don't live on. All the neighbors got to do is go out there and clean it from their own damn house and keep my taxes low. There's no reason why I pay for trash cans because people keep putting the dollar store brand trash bags in the alley too early, too late, or off cycle of the trash day, and then the cats come tear the bag up, and then you got rats everywhere. I shouldn't have to pay for the speed humps that's tearing up people's cars because by speed and can't follow traffic laws. Shouldn't have to pay for street cameras and cell phone cameras and speed, cameras. If the police got them to do their job and write those tickets, that will stop a lot of the speed and acting a fool. And that's what I'm thinking. Well, let's go to the listener letters that you have. Chat room is open. Don't have my bottle of water. The chat room is open. There are three letters that we're going to do. Brother E has his Sabbath tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow's Tuesday, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, tomorrow's Thursday. Oh, okay. Yeah. You have your Sabbath on Friday.
Yeah,
Friday night. Well, I was thinking about some of that quiche bread that they have. I never knew how to make it. I like the kind that's got like broccoli stuff in there. And then one time, this Jewish lady gave me this. She gave me this eclair. Well, I thought it was an eclair. It was the nastiest thing I've ever had from the Jewish people. And I said, this must be what they call nigger bread. Something that you give somebody to get rid of them. I said, what is this? It looked like an eclair. I thought it was going to be nice and soft, cream-filled, sweet and chocolatey. And I said, oh, it was hard and crunchy. And I said to myself, damn. But I politely asked, what is this? And she said it was baklava. But she not lying. That's what it tastes like. Baklava. You know. And I don't know what was good about it. That she smiled. She had a whole basket of it. I said, oh, no. Next time, don't ask. You know, and that's what I've learned when you go to those gift shops. Don't ask. Can I taste it? A pee? That broke me out of that. That was terrible. And I went to the, matter of fact, it was all over Patterson. It was a festival of some sort. And I saw some rice pudding. I said, ooh, rice pudding. Let me give me some of that. And the rice pudding had, it was rock hard pieces of rice, like undercooked. I said, good God, what is this? And he said, baklava. So I guess baklava must mean terrible, because I can't understand how it can be rice and it can be that hard toasted piece of bread. Both of these things are called baklava. Well, maybe he was saying, I don't know, in his language, Yiddish or something. I don't know, but they both said baklava for two different things. And each was crunchy and tasty. So that's probably what it means. Baklava, untasty. Yes, eat this. It's baklava. No, I don't want none.
You say baklava?
Yeah, I don't want none.
Now, baklava is Greek. It's not Jewish. It's Greek.
These were Greek Jews. I know what I'm talking about. I was there.
All right. I'm saying baklava is Jewish. Baklava is, I'm telling you, baklava is a Greek food. You're talking about the with the flakes, right?
I don't know what it had in it. One lady gave me a biscuit that looked like a Boston eclair, if you know what an eclair is. And it was hard as a rock. And she said that was baklava. I said, oh, I don't want nothing. But I went and saw this man's table.
You got the names mixed up with something else. Because baklava is flaky with in it. Real sticky and gooey. So I think you got the names mixed up. Because like if it was for a Greek Jew, they would have had baklava there. Baklava is real flaky. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
Look harder. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it might have been a couple that might have gotten mixed up. There's definitely a few harsh juices, only because like black people, when you like you look at why black people eat things like chitlins and chicken wings, because the throwaway parts what we used to eat it during slavery, you know, food eat third pig because it take all the good parts of the pig and so on and so forth. That's why we eat chicken, that's how we fry up chicken gizzards, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. But Jews are very similar. But in Europe, they didn't, when they were getting shit in Europe, not allowing potatoes, not allowing spices, they had to get food to take stuff. The only thing is they're creating stuff that has a lot of flavor because they're in Europe and Europeans don't have flavor over there.
Well, I was told that the reason that chicken tastes like chicken is because brain doesn't have a taste program for it. So everything that you eat that the brain doesn't have a taste for it, tastes like chicken. When you eat snake, it tastes like chicken. When you eat a rat, it tastes like chicken. When you eat people, it tastes like chicken. So maybe they were right with it tastes like chicken. Because everything can't taste like chicken.
Well, I've heard in Europe where the cannibalism was, they used to call humans long pigs. And that's when they would pick it up, they would call eat long pigs. So as far as I know, the pig anatomy is essentially the skin structure, the epithelial structure is the...
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. It sounds like you're saying something inappropriate, but I wasn't sure.
Hello?
No, it's all chopped up, like you in a helicopter.
I'm definitely not in a helicopter. Hold on one second. How about now?
Yeah, you good now.
Okay, what I was saying is that from a scientific perspective, especially the epidermal layer of a pig, when I'm talking about the epidermal layer, that's the skin of a pig, the makeup of their skin is closer to human skin than monkeys are. And monkeys, according to scientists, well, we're descendants of monkeys, which I personally don't believe, but their skin is more like human skin than monkeys are. You know what I'm saying? So it gives a little bit of perspective when Europe, they used to call humans long pigs, and they would have like, they have long winters, you know what I'm saying, and they would scarce, they would eat each other, and they would call it long pigs.
Oh, well, speaking about pigs, do you know why people call the police pigs?
I always assumed it has something to do with the skin.
Because these are squealers, so that's why they call the police pigs.
I get it. Wah, wah, wah. I get it.
Yeah, they tap tail. They always trying to cause trouble. Pigs.
I get it.
But people always thought it had something to do with them being white. I said, no, pigs have nothing to do about them being white.
Yeah, that makes
sense. There was a thing about Dick Tracy back in the day. This was cartoons in my childhood. And Dick Tracy used to say, get him, flat top. And they're like, get off me, you dirty pig. It had nothing him being white because Flat Top was white too. There were no black characters in a lot of the comic books in my childhood. When I first started to show like the Mantis or the Brown Hornet, it was like, wow, black comic book, black characters. Even this show now about this the bulletproof black guy, it's like, wow, is that all?
Yeah, Luke Cage.
It's like, wow, is that all he can do? And even Hancock was a dream. So I told Jada, and she stole my idea. I told Jada years ago, I said, I would like to have created a comic book or a storybook that's competitive to Marvel and DC Comics. They got the same characters, but all the characters are black, like a black Wonder Woman, a black Spider-Man, a black Superman. And somehow people started doing this. Black Wonder Woman became known as Storm on the X-Men, not because of her gift, but if you look at the drawings of her, that's the exact replica of Wonder Woman. Same earrings, same hairstyle, same skinny physique, same hips on the hands on the hips that, you know, and that Star, which the voice was done by Whoopi Goldberg, not Halle Berry. I'm saying the original Star, where Whoopi Goldberg was doing the voice. Whoopi Goldberg did the voice for Storm, as well as Gaia on Captain Planet. And then she became the alien Gaia on Star Trek The Next Generation. Which brings me to this thing with Brother Herbie, who used to co-host the show in New York. He mentioned about, I think of the term, there was some type of an alien that communicated with Gene Roddenberry and gave him these ideas of the future, which allowed him to write Star Trek. And only until he did the second one, then he passed on and died. Got really, really sick. Something wrong with the brain, like a brain aneurysm and such. And to my knowledge of an aneurysm, that is when the brain has pressure, too much information inside of it that you'll hold, and it just bursts. And then once it bursts, you feel a sense of relief. But whatever vein the nerves were damaged, that affects your health as well. So you don't want any type of bleeding of the brain. That's not good. And a lot of things that they mentioned, because they have this new Star Trek came out, I guess maybe a month or so ago, where this all black cast and very little white people, and white people were complaining. Are they trying to say that the white man does not exist in the future? You know, and this is clearly someone who's ignorant of the Star Trek series, because the original Star Trek only had two black characters, one Michelle Nichols with Senator Uhura, and the other being the Klingon captain or Klingon commander. That was a black guy. And even in the second one, there was only one black Klingon Worf. And then in Voyager, there was only one black Vulcan Tuvok, which I said, oh, I'm trying to say Tupac. And I didn't like Voyager too well. It just got kind of stupid. She started having some type of alien movie or something dumb. So here's to our letters. Gloria Evans. Dear Malik, the episode on 9/11 was very unclear. Could not get it. Is there another show where you discussed 9/11 and the name of the company responsible? Please email your reply. Well, I don't usually email the reply to letters. If you email me, I'll email you back. The letters, I just read them and give you the answers. The name of the company responsible for 9/11 is Halliburton, Halliburton. I think you should Google it. And there should be a link for investors or shareholders or something. Or it might say about, something like that. And you click on that link, it should list all of the people responsible. Now, a young man, I think his name was Michael, gave me the bait for 3 hours about 9/11. And he kept saying, they. And I say, when you do a show, because he wanted to co-host the show, but he wasn't to the level that I expect the co-host to be, they. I say, when you do a show, in conversation, it's okay to say they. But when you're stating the facts, you have to identify who they are. Man, you know who they is. So obviously he didn't know. And he was talking about the president was reading a book to the children when they told him about the attack. That's not true. What you have to understand, people, in the media, is things called smoke and mirrors. If you saw the skeleton key, you know exactly what I'm talking about, smoke and mirrors. But if not, I'll explain. If I were to kill somebody, say the show comes on at 7 o'clock, I killed somebody at 6:15. That gives me 45 minutes to cover up some time before the show starts. To give myself an alibi for not being known, present, or knowledgeable. So I do the show just like I always do. And the police have me at the presidential. They ask the question, Mr. Shakur, where are you between 6 and 7 p.m.? Well, I was doing a radio show. Come to like 7. Can anybody vouch for that? Yeah, over 7,000 listeners can vouch and let you know that I was on the show. Okay. No further questions at this time. But we might have some other questions. Can say, okay, we can contact you. We'll just give you your card. All right, well, here's my card. Just give us a call if you can think of anything. All right. Boom. And I can call you back. So, yes, I killed somebody. Yes, I'm the suspect. Yes, I did it. But because of smoke and mirrors appearing to be someplace else, far from the scene of the crime, you're creating an alibi. So, as president, out of all the days to read to school, he chose that day. And it wasn't even the first period class. It was like a second or third period class. If I want to read to a school, I'm going to read to school first thing in the morning. As soon as the bell rang, welcome to class, I'm here to read a book to you. And three things were wrong. One, he never read the book. He just was sitting there showing pictures. Two, he was holding the book upside down so he couldn't have been following along. He just was looking good on camera. Three, the Secret Service man did not whisper in the ear. The Trade Center towers just got blown up. And this is how things work. If the Secret Service got a phone call and said, Trade Center towers got blown up, they would instantly grab the president, take him to safety, because we're under attack. What the Secret Service told him, if you can read lips, he said, you told me to remind you when 10 o'clock comes, sir. It's 9:45. That's what he said. He ain't tell a shit about what happened. That's why he had no reaction, because he knew exactly what time he was supposed to account for, not being at the White House. He knew exactly what time he had to account for to leave. And that's what he told. And this was not the Secret Service. It was just the agent responsible for being with him. Play the tapes back and read his lips. Those who can read lips, I don't know if you know how to do it or not. The way I try to teach my nephew to do it is just to and think of the sound his mouth makes through the hum. You can get those words. Do you think we'd be under attack? And the Secret Service. See, the Secret Service is not political. It's a security detective agency. No different than the military. They're going to do their job regardless of the gangs, the politics are playing. They want to snatch you up and say, we got to go under that. All five of them going to run up in there and grab them. They're not going to sit there and whisper, oh, you know, mom just dropped dead and fell down the steps. But just keep reading that book. And when you finish, when you get to the last page, they will leave. Impossible. Do you think if it was Obama, they would tell him, oh, something happened to Michelle, you going to sit there and read the book? I think your family is in danger. No. That's not what they told him. They told him the time, because he was asking, reminding him of the time. And after the guy walked away, Bush looked at his watch to confirm the time and went right on back to reading the book. When they left, if it was such an emergency, they would have went straight back to the White House. What did the newspaper say? The president went after leaving the school. It said they stopped to a nearby Burger King or Wendy's, whatever, to get a Frosty. Burger King to get a Frosty. One of the two. Whoever makes the Frosty.
Wendy's.
They stopped by Wendy's to get a Frosty. So if I'm under attack, do you think I'm going to stop to get me some damn ice cream in a cup? No. I head back to the White House and see what's going on. It was all orchestrated. They knew exactly what they were doing. Sometimes military people do airstrike drills and fly those jets so fast across your neighborhood that you think we were at war, but we're not. It's just something that they do that the public's not privileged to. So when Halliburton came to the country to sell his weapon, America said, well, let's see if the weapon works. So they had to make up a story to distract kids from what was going on. So that's when they called these movies. Let's make a movie. They have never, ever had somebody a movie within a month or two after something happens. And you got it like, poof. First, United 93 movie came out damn near 3 weeks after 9/11 came out. How did you prepare the script that fast? How did you get the cast that fast? How did you get the uniforms and all that so fast? It was already made. They already had the script written. This is what we're going to do. And they had the script written. Who, if everybody died on that plane, what witness or survivor told you that they were fighting on the plane to overtake the terrorists and the plane crashed? Who told you that lie? Number one, 187 passengers on a plane and you only have three terrorists. What the hell odds would that be that you could take the plane? You got more people of that than that on the cruise ship. When you go to Carnival Cruise Lines, you only got six crew members and damn near 3,000 guests on the boat. And you telling me that you can't the ship? Get out of my face being dumb. Let me tell you something called physics. In physics and water, people who have guns know about water. The way a gun operates from hand to hand is called a dry discharge. The way a gun operates in the air or in the water is called a wet discharge. You're not going to get the same impact and the same velocity if I put the gun in the water and pull the trigger. The impact will be that much softer. You might be able to shoot somebody from one end of the pool to the other end of the pool and give them a flesh wound. Whereas out of the water, the same distance, the bullet go through. The same way you're in the water, the same way in the air. That's why we create create these sky charts, we use the same Navy terms in the air, like nautical. You do in the water, nautical. Nautical miles, knots. We use the same Navy terms as the water because air acts the same as water. The gun is not going to discharge like you see on TV, put a hole in the wall. It might not fire because of the cabin pressure not allowing you to light a match. Try that. Take a lighter. I'm going to advise you. So I'll take that back because some idiot might do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
But from my own experience, because being in the military, we had a guy, Sergeant Brazell, who was a smoker, and he couldn't stand being in the racks waiting to jump out the plane to get his paratrooper certification. He tried to strike a match, and the match wouldn't light. He went through 5 or 6 matchbooks, and they wouldn't light. If it did light, it would instantly smucker out. So he would cup his hands real tight and still go out. There was no wind blowing. It just wasn't enough oxygen to sustain the light. And you need combustion to discharge the bullet from the gun. So if you do pull a trigger on an airplane, it could backfire, it could blow, it could jam. All these things are possible. But on the Air Force One, they have something called air, can't think of that word, air injector, specifically for shooting on an airplane. So I done gave away a secret that a lot of you didn't know and shouldn't have known. But yeah, an air pistol is what the airplane pilots have right now in the cockpit. And they will put a hole in the plane. But average just a Glock or a 45 Magnum, no. It'll cause some damage, but not the damage you see on TV. And it's not going to be that easy to pull the trigger. It'll be like pulling the trigger with somebody's finger behind the rest. So you got to put some extra effort to it in a pressurized cabin. Other theory that people say, oh, they call on the cell phone and their relatives from the plane and told them what was going on. Cell phone don't work at that altitude. So that's out. Use the air phone, and the air phone was working, and that's how they called the people. If you turn off the beacon and you turn off the transponder, the phone doesn't work. Because they're all on the same switch. So that doesn't work. But don't take my word for it. Call a local airline pilot. Call the FAA. Call Boeing. Google it. It'll tell you, eventually, looking through a bunch of schematics, which circuits the time, which circuits the lines for communication. Tied to, and which circuit the lights and oxygen is tied into. It's called an avionics schematic, S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-C. It'll tell you which switches connect what. If I turn off this switch, what won't work and what will work, such as autopilot. If I flip on the autopilot, the steering does not work. I can't correct the computer because the computer is flying. You got to put it back in alpha flight mode. A lot of stuff in the movie that was impossible and made no sense. If the pilot had the autopilot on, the terrorists could not have taken the plane from the pilot and disengaged it. It's more to autopilot than just on and off switch. When you set it, you have a hotkey that you push. You might hit the left rudder when you set it, which means you got to hit the left rudder when you undo it. This is to prevent you from accidentally immediately engage in the autopilot. Everybody knows they set a hotkey when they set the autopilot. So how does the terrorist know what the pilot's hotkey is? Get out of my face being dumb. And like I told my mom the other day, we've been in New York only a day. There is no way in hell a plane that big, unless it had the wheels down, drop that kind of altitude within a matter of seconds and run into that building without tearing down them power lines and those spires. S-P-I-R-E-S, spires, which you call lightning rods. Called spires, like a steeple. There's a lot of steeples downtown, especially by Rockefeller Plaza. A lot of radio antennas by Rockefeller Plaza, especially by Manhattan. And the plane could not possibly to get the wings between the wingspan of those buildings and then went back horizontal to run into the side of the building. No way. And we know this because they told you which floors the planes hit. The floors that were hit were so. Take a damn ruler and measure a flight path. There's no way to get a plane horizontal or at a 10-degree angle without it hitting other buildings. So how did that big-ass plane get there? There was no plane. Ask people who were there. Don't ask these nobodies that's paid to tell you, oh, it was a big old plane. A friend of mine who was there, he said there were two planes, like crashers. That I believe because that would be small enough to fit. And that would crash and cause that kind of significant damage. A big old 747, the damage should be more than just a corner of fire. The whole from right side to left side should be sliced in half like a pie if a whole 747 hit that plane. Because you got to stop the speed. You got airspeed, you got the weight, velocity, crush, depth, you got all that. And the building is not solid, the building is hollow. How come the building is hollow? Because you have floors in between the first wall to the back wall. It's wide open. It's not solid steel, solid steel, solid steel, like a block. A car is not solid. It's got seats between the two doors. So once something breaks the first door, it's got to open it before it gets to the next door. So the plane went through the first wall. There's beams and hallway space, classroom, office space, bathroom walls, a whole lot of stuff before it gets to another hard beam, slow the plane down. But a crop duster, maybe that first brick wall will do it. Stop the control pad. It ain't got a lot of weight behind it. It ain't got a lot of speed behind it. So, yeah, that further confirms to me that a small little crop dusters ran to it. What do you think, Brother EJ? You got a good head on your shoulders.
Just about 9/11 or just in general?
9/11 and general.
In 9/11 in particular, I know that anybody who knows anything about demolition, and I don't really know anything about demolition, but I've only heard people who do know stuff about demolition, they say that that the way that the buildings fell had to have been a demolition. There's no way that the steel underneath the burning could have structurally dropped without there being some sort of demolition involved. So I definitely think it was planned. And, United 93 came out in, like, 2006, so that is pretty darn quick. You know what I mean? Like the movie, yeah, it came out in, like, 06, so that's, like, really quick to start production and stuff. But and just in general, I was wondering what happened to Amanda.
I don't know. I say she must be on the different timeline. I tell everybody it's 7 o'clock Eastern time. So by the time she calls, we'll be off the air because it's a 3-hour difference. California to Maryland.
Yeah. That's people need to be on that. But even still, it's a good, I mean, while we're here, I just want to, I was looking at what she does in general, just for people who are at home.
What
she do? Just the authoring. I'm just looking at the two books, the Genesis and the Exodus. But the Exodus Dawn of Unity series. So it seems to be a series that she's making. She also has Astrea Legends, another Exodus story by Amanda S. Reeves. That's the best way to find it. They got paperback on Amazon. And it definitely looks like an interesting read. The interesting read is interesting illustration. And the Genesis cover looks something out of a fairy tale. Like, it generally looks like it's out of a fairy tale. So it's a very interesting spin. Very interesting spin on I guess, the Bible.
Yeah, it's a children's way to reach them and understand them.
Yeah, it seems, it looks beautiful. It reminds me of VeggieTales almost. Like VeggieTales with animals.
I don't know. What is it?
VeggieTales, it's basically they tell stories of from the Bible played by vegetables. You know what I'm saying? So Moses is played by a cucumber and Pharaoh is a zucchini, so he kind of looks like him, you know? and you know, it's stuff like that. And he saves the rest of the peas, which are the Jews who are under the Pharaoh's rule, and he saves them. You know, they just put they make it for kids. They make the there's like a Jewish grape who really sounds really Jewy, you know? Yeah.
Were you Muknik?
What was that? I think his name is like Malachi or something. But no, VeggieTales, I'm surprised you never heard of it. He said Muknik.
Muknik is crazy. Yeah, Muknik.
Oh, Mashugana. Mashugana.
Yeah, Mashugana is crazy too.
Yeah.
Well, I think Muknik is insane. And what sugar means crazy. Oh, out of your mouth.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What are you, Mutnik? That's what I always say. When I say, let's go to the news media and tell them about this. What are you, Mutnik?
That's it, gotcha.
Yeah, that was my buddy. A bit about Amanda, since we had the bio here. Amanda Reeves is a Louisiana native and is a professional artist. She draws artworks on the cover. Professional artist, published author, spoken word artist, dance choreographer, and creativity coach. It's been her longtime vision to use these talents and the arts to be a source of encouragement, empowerment to others. At 34 years old, she has dedicated the last 17 years to building a brand to bring to fruition. Astrea Legends is an entire franchise in itself as Amanda ventures down multiple avenues. Her stories make up novels, print comics, and web comics, as well as full screenplays fitting for animated shorts. She makes all her own merchandise, ranging from stickers and stationery to dolls, trading cards, and she also delves into the gaming genre with both a trading card game and video game in the works.
Excuse me.
And finally, brings characters to life through spoken word presentations, dance performances, and artistic videos. So that's awesome. So you can find out more about Amanda by going to www.astrealegends.com. A-S-T-R-I-A. Legends.com. And that's her own brand put together. So she started this about half her age, 17 and 34. So she's 34 years old now. She was 17 when she started. So that's amazing. I'm all for the youth getting an epiphany to start her own thing. Regardless of what it is, you got to work hard and you got to be long. Got to put that longevity in, long suffering. Because it's not going to happen overnight.
whatever you're going to do.
That's wonderful. I enjoy that. AstriaLegends.com. So, remember that the views expressed on our show live are not necessarily the views of the show, its affiliates, or that of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised that some views and discussions are for mature audience only. The Knowledge Show Live is listener-supported radio, so please listen often or donate if possible. And thanks for continuing to listen to our show. We're so glad we had this time together to have a laugh or sing a song. We just got started, and before you know it, come we have to say so long. Say so long, Brother EJ.
So long, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And on behalf of Sister Mia and Sister Akima, Sister B, and you know those that came and gone, Chrissy Scott and Tommy Mayer, and so forth. The list goes on and on. We say farewell. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's 28th. We'll have our open discussion, and we'll talk about, since it's Conspiracy Theory Thursday, I want to open your eyes to subliminal messages, which I've been trying to fit that in and just couldn't get around to getting it done. But we definitely want to be able to fit that in tomorrow. So I'm going to show you and teach you, those that follow along on the internet, how words say one thing and spell something else, as well as how words into numbers, how numbers are translated into words, how logos are transferred into numbers and words, like Taco Bell has six at the bottom of it. And when you see the three bells, the 666, we're going to crack the code of what does that mean and what makes it demonic. Not that it's a demonic entity by itself, but it's all the culture of the teacher. I remember we're talking about the age of wisdom can be measured by an age. Your birth age is not the same age of wisdom. Like I could be 45 years old, but my age of wisdom could be 60 or 70. And some of these things I'll share with you as it was taught through Dick Gregory, when he was talking to me about the difference between wisdom and understanding. So all of that and more will be set up tomorrow on Conspiracy Thursday on the Knowledge Show Live. So if you know the words, then sing along. And that's our show.